Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
Could we give that praise to the Lord all over this sanctuary? If you're glad about what you feel in this house today, why don't you express that unto Jesus with your worship, with everything you've got within you? Why don't you lift your voice? Give the Lord your best praise on this Sunday morning. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God. What a joy to be in God's house and to know that God is in this house. It's not just me and you, those on your row or those in your section, but Jesus is in this room today. He has made himself known, and I believe great things are in store just in the next few moments in this house today. Whatever need you brought into the building with you, God is well able to meet that need. Man, what a powerful touch of the Lord has already moved here. And as we were praying for those who came forward here today, I felt that touch of the Holy Ghost ministering. Amen. But I don't believe God is done. He is not finished. Amen. If you need healing, He is a healer. If you need deliverance, He is a delivering God. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, what a wonderful day to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't have to wonder whether or not it's for you. It is for you. It is a promise God has made unto you if you will obey and do as He has asked of you in His Word, to repent, to be baptized in Jesus' name, and to turn from a life of sin, living your life to the glory of God. He will fill you with His Spirit. And you will be an overcomer through Christ Jesus our Lord. If anybody's had that experience in the house, maybe just wave your hand as a testimony that it is real, His promises are true, and I've experienced the victorious power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. What a joy to be here. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, where I will read from the 12th chapter. Verses 1 through 8 of Matthew's 12th chapter. And while you turn there, what a great joy it is for my wife and I, along with Graham, to be here at Apostolic Worship Center in Norman. We love and appreciate this great church so very much. And as we settled into the evangelist quarters last night, it dawned on us that was Graham's first stay in an evangelist quarters. And after we talked about that for a moment, then we realized that after my wife and I got married, our first church to go preach at was Apostolic Worship Center. And so we're just making history every time we come here. I don't know what first thing will happen next time, but we'll just wait and see. But it's so great to be here. Your pastor and his wife and their family are wonderful, wonderful people who we love and appreciate so very much. As he mentioned, give them honor. Amen. You are blessed. Amen. As he mentioned, our families have been long connected, and there is no one that I respect or esteem any more highly than Brother and Sister Borders, and we appreciate them so very much. And you are blessed week in and week out to hear one of the greatest preachers in Pentecost, and you ought to thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 1. Anybody going to help me for a few minutes on this Sunday morning? Amen. I believe the Word of God is powerful, and the Word of God is Spirit, and it is life. And I believe His Word and Spirit working together in unison today is going to produce something powerful in our lives if we will allow it. How many would say, I'm going to let God have His way in me today? I'm going to have His way. I'll let Him have His way today. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. Somebody shout, on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, Jesus is teaching through the corn. And his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was anhungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither of them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or, Jesus moves on to point number two in his sermon, Have ye not read also in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? But in verse 6, Jesus says, I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. And here's where we will conclude in our reading this morning, verse number 8. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. I want to preach for a few moments on this Sunday morning on this subject, on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day. If you're going to help me to preach this morning, would you shout amen? God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. It was the command of God to the children of Israel in days of old. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In fact, recorded in Exodus chapter 31, beginning at the 16th verse, we find there recorded the very words of God as he spoke to Moses, saying, Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. God goes on to say that this is more than just merely a formality. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Look throughout the Old Testament and you will find that this was God's ordained method of maintaining communion and closeness with his people. And although today in 2024 we no longer live beneath the weight of the Old Testament law, now we live under the covenant of grace, being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We now find our spiritual rest through relational communion with Jesus Christ. Yet we do still observe the principle and the origin of the Sabbath day. For Sunday after Sunday, just like today, whether the sun is shining in the middle of the summer or it's a dreary, rainy, wet February Sunday like this one, that it would have been real easy to just kick back in the lazy boy or turn over in bed and just stay right there and sleep this dreary day away. But yet we, the people of God, we wake ourselves up. We run a comb through our hair and we brush our teeth and put on our Sunday best and we come into this house. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And we come into his courts with praise. And may I just say right here, there's something special about being in the house of God on a Sunday morning. I love coming to the house of God any day of the week, whether it's a Sunday or it's a weekday. I just enjoy being in the presence of the Lord. I enjoy coming together with the people of God and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And I'm not preaching a gospel today that says one day is better than the other, but there's just something especially powerful about a Sunday morning like this, coming into the house of God and unplugging from all of the pressures of life that have built up and accumulated all week long. And we can just put all of them on hold. Everything that troubled us last week, we can leave that out in the parking lot. And everything that we
can anticipate piling up on us this week. We can just leave that outside in the foyer, and for a few moments we can gather into this sanctuary, and we can forget about every problem, and we can fix our minds upon the greatness of God. Already in this service, we have talked about the name of Jesus that is to be exalted. We have talked about His power, and we have sung about His goodness. That is, ladies and gentlemen, enough, amen, to put a smile on my face and help me to understand it doesn't matter what I faced last week, and it doesn't matter what comes against me this week. I've got a God that is with me, and I'm going to leave this place strengthened. But as wonderful as Sundays are, as spiritually refreshing and as spiritually powerful as Sundays are, as much as Sunday is to be a day of rest and renewal, may I tell us this morning that hell does not see Sunday like you and I see Sunday. I would venture to say that for most of us in this room, all week long, we looked forward to seeing Sunday morning roll around on the calendar. We looked forward to this service and tonight's service with anticipation and with excitement. But I suppose hell probably looked at today's services with nervous dread and apprehension. We look forward to gathering together with the people of God because we have come to know and to experience just what can happen when we come and we get in one mind and in one accord. We know that miracles can take place in this room when we agree together in faith. Anybody know what I'm preaching about today? We know that the chains of addiction can be broken when we come together and we call on the name of Jesus. We know that the sins of yesterday can be forever renewed, and or they can forever be washed away by the forgiving power of the blood of Jesus Christ is found in these altars here today. We know what can happen. We know what one service has the potential of producing. But may I also tell you, Satan despises the coming together of the faithful, because just as well as we know what God can do, he also knows what God can do in this sanctuary. Hell is not naive. Hell is not ignorant of what potential lies over the next hour and a half of this service. I'm not going to preach that long, but I would to God someone would pray for a little while before this is all said and done and say, I'm not going to leave this house until there's a breakthrough in my life. I'm not going to leave until there's a deliverance that takes place. Amen. I just believe we make hell nervous, not by simply showing up at church, but by truly having church. I believe that's what makes hell nervous. The coming together of God's people and the worship and the praise, amen, that glorifies the name of the Lord and brings the glory of God down. So I haven't come today just to simply give the church 2 hours of my time on this Sunday morning. I have come to have church. I've come to have church. I've come to worship Him until something changes in my circumstance. I've come to praise His name until a few burdens are lifted up off of my shoulders. I've come to exalt His name until the power of that name is released in my life. Come on, I wish I had 2 or 3 that would say, no, I'm not going to just patty cake for Jesus and go through the motions. I'm going to praise Him because He is worthy. And I believe that this day is to be a day of revival and deliverance and victory in the house of the Lord. Praise God. I was in Vicksburg, Mississippi some time ago, and while walking through an old Museum, I ran across this story. If you are familiar at all with the history of our nation, specifically the Civil War time period, you know that the Battle of Vicksburg is one of the most remarkable campaigns of the American Civil War. History would tell us that for many it was a hard-fought month. General Ulysses S. Grant and his army had been trying to wrest away the strategic Confederate River Fortress of Vicksburg, Mississippi. Grant led his forces across the Mississippi River and drove the Confederate Army of Mississippi into the defensive lines surrounding Vicksburg. When two major assaults against the fortification or the against that fort were repulsed with heavy casualties, Grant decided to besiege the city beginning on May the 25th, 1863. History would then say that with no reinforcements, with supplies nearly gone, and after holding out for more than 40 days, the garrison finally surrendered on the fourth day of July of the same year, 1863. We could then read of the throes and the conditions of war that began to take their toll on the townsfolk of Vicksburg. Businesses were shut down, school was suspended, and in a great sense, one could say that life in Vicksburg was paralyzed, frozen in a state of uncertainty. I'm sure that those residents hoped that normalcy and peace would find its way back into their lives again, yet the unknown blinded their vision from seeing what tomorrow might hold. However, in spite of the interruption and the confusion of their everyday lives, there was one element that remained constant. All across Vicksburg, in spite of the turmoil, and in spite of everything being turned upside down, this one thing was true. Churches all across Vicksburg continued to hold their regularly scheduled worship services. Because while some could have used their circumstances to excuse their gathering, others believed that the circumstances of war were all the more reason to gather together in worship. There was one lady by the name of Emma Balfour that wrote of her church, and I quote, "The sanctuary was so filled with bricks, mortar, and glass that it was difficult to find a place to sit." Nevertheless, she said, Reverend W.W. Lord rang the bell, opened the door, clutched his Bible, and took his place behind the pulpit. And with the deep booming sound of cannon fire taking the place of organ notes and the shell of besieging fleet bursting around that sacred edifice, she says, Reverend Lord preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to an assemblage of powder grimed and blood-stained soldieries, men who had been displaced from their homes and their families for the sake of war. They drugged themselves on a Sunday morning off of the battlefield and into a house of worship. And although that very building that they gathered in was becoming just as wearied and rugged as they themselves had become, they said, "We will not cease to be found in the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day." Can I just push pause right here for about 17 seconds and encourage somebody? I don't know what you've been going through, and I don't know what kind of battle has been raging in your world, but you ought to put a smile on your face today and let the enemy know you may be trying your best to destroy me, but I'm still here. You may be doing your best to ravage my soul and to wreak havoc in my home and to tear apart my spirit, but I'm still here. And there's nothing, not even a battle, not even a war, nothing's going to keep me out of the house of the Lord. Yes, it was the Lord's day. But it seemed that war had invaded not only Vicksburg, but war had invaded the Sabbath day itself. And when asked about the effects of war upon their worship services, Reverend William L. Foster responded with this powerful statement. And he said this, "War knows no Sabbath." And I rise today on this Sunday morning to declare this wonderful congregation. Although Confederate cannons have been silenced, Union troops have marched away with their victory, and the Battle of Vicksburg continues now only on the pages of our history books. But make no mistake, there is still a war that rages. There is still a battle being fought even today. There is an opposing force of hell that is fighting against every home. It's fighting against every family. Satan has launched an all-out attack on students and teenagers and even children, young adults. He's endeavoring to besiege even faithful saints of God with fear and weariness. Amen. Satan today is endeavoring to ambush the fallen with fresh wounds of yesterday's regret, trying to hold captive those who have been imprisoned in their sin, telling them that they'll never escape, that they'll never be free. They are, in fact, a prisoner of war. I'll move on to my sermon in just a moment, but you need to understand that the spiritual opposition we face today is not some new thing. It's not a new tactic. It's not a new strategy. We may fight new battles every day, but ladies and gentlemen, this is an old war. It's an old war. It's the same war Paul warned the Ephesians about when he said, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Paul said, "We are wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I could agree. I could concur with the Apostle Paul and say, "Yes, sir. Hell's mission has proven to be just that, just as Jesus said that it would be, to steal and to kill and to destroy." And even here on this Sunday morning, I would tell you that there is a civil war taking place. It's the civil war of the soul. There is that internal battle, that internal waging of forces, good and evil, those forces that have been at odds since the fall of man. They are even still waging today in every heart, in every mind, in every soul. There is that civil war without the Holy Ghost. There is that constant battling of forces. Amen. And at the expense of sounding like a doom and gloom preacher today, I must tell you that just because this is Sunday doesn't mean that war takes a day of rest. The Sabbath does not exempt us from fighting our adversary. Sunday is no peace time. Sunday is no time out. In fact, I don't guess I have any Bible for this, but I guess it's just my personal opinion, and it's been formulated by observation, but sometimes Sunday morning is when the battle gets the hottest. Sometimes you can have the greatest week you've had all year long. And about 9 a.m., about 9:30, all of hell breaks loose. and everything hell could possibly use to get in your mind and to work on your spirit and to whittle down your faith and distract you and even keep you out of the house of God. Bless God, he's going to fire every fiery dart. He's going to launch every missile. He's going to use everything he possibly can because he knows what can happen in this house. And I felt this so strong in my spirit today. I may not be preaching to everybody in this building, but there's a few at least, amen, that I've come to try to help in the Holy Ghost, because it's Sunday morning and thank God you're here, and on the outside everything looks good, and you don't want the guest evangelist to blow your cover, and I'm not here to embarrass you whatsoever, amen, but the reality is you've stumbled off of a battlefield and you've walked into this sanctuary today feeling a little battered and a little beaten from the battle that has consumed you. There's somebody here today that you fought so long and you fought so hard that you're starting to wonder, how long can I even stand? I'm getting weary in the fight. Will this ever come to an end? Will there ever be a reprieve? Will my enemy ever retreat? Will I ever, amen, be able to take my breath and live in peace and joy and victory again? Some of you today have walked in here and you've got hurts and wounds and scars that the enemy has tried to convince you they'll never heal, they'll never go away, you'll never overcome that. Amen. I'm preaching to some saint of God right now that you're getting a little fatigued and you're a little torn up in your spirit and you've started questioning, God, do you even still know where I am and what I'm going through? Do you even understand the mess that I am in? Now, I understand. I've grown up in this thing, and I know how we do it. We walk into a beautiful sanctuary, and we sit down on the padded pew, and the smile on our face says everything's fine. But I understand that so many times, spiritually, we wade through blood, sweat, and tears just to get into the house of God. Spiritually, some of us had to step over some wreckage. And some of us, as the worship began today, and as they started singing, some of us had to dust a little soot off of our souls just to find ourselves with a song in our mouth and hands lifted high in the air. Because we're in a battle and there's a civil war of the soul taking place. And I've watched it happen. I've watched it happen many times. Someone comes into the house of God, coming in off of their battlefield. And while they are in God's house, they watch the singers sing their song. And they observe the preacher preaching his Sunday morning sermon. Yet while they are in the right place and all the right things are happening around them, all the while they are deafened by the booming sounds of battle that have surrounded them. If that's you today, I've come to preach to you. I've not come to preach at you, but I have come to preach something into your spirit. Amen. And tell you that in spite of the danger that you've dealt with, in spite of the bullets that you've had to dodge, in spite of the difficulty that you endured just to get here today, I bring you some good news. God's not afraid of your battle. God's not intimidated by the enemy's warfare in your life. And God's not worried about tomorrow. There may be a war raging all around you, but there is an Almighty God who is by your side, and he is fighting for you. I'm going to get to my text in just a moment, but I wish I had about three or four that would say, you know what? It's been a struggle, and I could leave this house, amen, and just go back into the battle, but I choose. I'm going to get something out of this service today that'll strengthen me. I'm going to get something out of this today that'll lift me up. I'm going to get a little bit more joy today. I'm going to get a little bit of victory today while I am in the house of the Lord. I wish there'd be someone that would throw your hands high right now and say, God, it's been a struggle, but I'm not going to let the battle keep me out of your presence. I'm not going to let the battle keep me out of that place where I can find rest. Now, if you look at our text in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus had just answered that foreboding question sent from John the Baptizer. Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? So Jesus confirms his identity as the manifested fulfillment of God's law and covenant. And now he takes advantage of the moment with John's ministry on their mind. Jesus begins to explain to them the prophetic role and the preparatory purpose of the baptizer's most unconventional ministry. And while Jesus applauds John, he also admonished that current generation of Pharisaical vipers for their ignorance and their self-righteous hypocrisy, and even scolded certain cities for their resistance and lack of repentance. Then, as we get closer to the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus offers a brief prayer, and then he delivers to his friends one of the most quoted sayings of his earthly ministry. Now, whether you realize it's in Matthew chapter 12 and whether you realize it's inserted at this point in the narrative or not, you know these words. It's right here that Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, as those words dawned upon the disciples' ears, little did they know that the subject of rest would very soon become such a contentious topic of discussion. Yet Jesus has a way of establishing truth and settling the issue right out of the gate. Jesus was saying, before we ever get to what's coming next, I want you to understand, I will give you rest. Jesus was helping his followers understand, amen, what maybe someone here today needs to understand. True rest doesn't come from a mere day on the calendar. Rest finds its source and substance in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe everybody needs a vacation and everybody needs a day off. Somebody say amen. We're headed to Branson tomorrow. Everybody needs a vacation. But He is ultimately our rest. He is our strength. So on the heels of this truth, we turn to Matthew chapter 12, where Matthew pens that at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And as Jesus is preaching, like any good church crowd would do, they got hungry. Got to get a witness. That's the first amen I got out of some of you all sermon long, but that one right there did it. They got hungry. While Jesus is preaching, they're walking through this field, and they see some corn that looks real good for eating, and they start picking off corn. And while Jesus is preaching, his parishioners, his church members, his saints are eating during the Sunday morning sermon. And as the Pharisees come lurking behind them, looking for a way to find fault with this Jesus of Nazareth, whom they despise so passionately, they see that the disciples are eating corn, but more than that, they are picking corn. They are reaping a harvest on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees, they take their shot, and they come to Jesus, and here's what they say in verse number 2. They said unto the Lord, "Behold thy disciples, They are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. And right there, Jesus kind of switches gears in his sermon. And he goes perhaps in a little different direction than he had been going. And he says unto these Pharisees, have ye not read what David did when he got hungry and all of his buddies that were with him? He entered into the house of God and he ate of the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat. And it wasn't lawful for any of his cronies to eat that bread either. But yet he is blamed. Then Jesus says also, not only David and all of his buddies, but what about the priest? How they profaned the Sabbath and yet are blameless. The Pharisees are pointing fingers, and their whole issue of the Sabbath day was a work issue. God worked for 6 days in creation, and on the seventh day, he rested. But in verse 6, Jesus opens the door of revelation and begins to combat their love of tradition with truth, saying, in this place is one greater than the temple. I don't have time to preach all that right there, but there's something Jesus was saying. There's something you need to understand about the law. There's something you need to understand about rest, and there's something you need to understand about the Sabbath day. I am the law. I am your rest, and the Son of Man is Lord. This is verse 8. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. Even today, even on this day where you say this and that can't happen, Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord, even today. And what blew the mind of these Pharisees was that on the Sabbath day, God was working. Now, this isn't going to be theologically profound. Come back next Sunday, Pastor will be preaching, and it'll be much more powerful. But can I just preach something real simple and elementary right now? Jesus still works 7 days a week. On Monday, he works. On Tuesday, he works. On Wednesday, he works. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he works. And ladies and gentlemen, even on a Sunday morning, when the enemy would tell you it can't happen and God can't do it, I've come to let somebody know he is still the Son of Man, and he is Lord even of the Sabbath. Can I combat the lie of the adversary today and say God doesn't take a day off? God doesn't take a day of rest. 7 days a week, he works. I need to preach to somebody right now. He'll work when you're up and he'll work when you're down. He'll work when you're sick. He'll work when you're well. He'll work when you're sad. He'll work when you're happy. He'll work when you're in trouble. He'll work when you're in triumph. He'll work when you have nothing, and he'll work when you've got it all. He'll work on the mountain, and he'll work in the valley. He'll work in the sunshine, and he'll work in the storm. I don't have time to preach through the Bible, but he'll work in the flood, and he'll work in a fiery furnace. He'll work in a pit and in the palace. He'll work in the wilderness for 40 years, and he'll even work in a whale's belly. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what time it is. It might be the Sabbath, but Jesus still works. Come on, I'm preaching to you today a God that is not controlled by time, date, or season. His power and his will is not dictated by the day of the week. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. I don't know what you're facing today, and I don't know what needs you came in here believing God would do. But if I could preach this into your spirit, amen, you ought to become convinced, amen, that it may be bad, and there may be voices of opposition that are shouting in my ear and trying to get into my spirit. But one thing I know, the Son of Man is Lord. Come on, I don't know what the doctor told you this week, but you ought to declare it in your spirit today. He is Lord. I don't know what the banker told you this week, but you ought to declare it today. He is Lord. I don't know what that backslidden son or daughter said to you this week, but you ought to determine He is Lord. Maybe there's someone today that the enemy's been reminding you of past failures and telling you God can't use you. God can't forgive you. God can't redeem you. God will never fill you with the Holy. The devil is a lie. God is Lord, and Satan is defeated. He's Lord. Elbow your neighbor and tell him He's Lord. I may be in a battle, but He's Lord. Now, it's 11:22. Let me hurry on. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. And when He was departed thence, He went into the synagogue. And there in the synagogue, He found a man whose hand was withered. And they asked Him, the Pharisees, these fault finders, asked Jesus concerning this man with the withered hand. Here's their question in verse 10. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And Jesus, we'll come back to verse number 11 in just a moment, but Jesus answers their question in verse number 12 and says in the affirmative, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, I've already tried to teach you one thing, and that is this: I am Lord. But the second thing you need to understand, that is, it is always lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. I know there's a man with a need here. I know he's got a problem that you would consider to be impossible. And you're wondering whether or not I am willing to make a difference in his life. And Jesus said, not only am I Lord, but it is lawful to do well. I need to tell, I told you, just simple preaching today, but I need to tell somebody He's Lord and it is lawful for Him to do well. I know this one may say it can't happen, and there may be doubters and there may be skeptics that say you'll never get your miracle, you'll never get your breakthrough, but I'm here to tell you Jesus would say it is lawful to do well. Can I preach it this way? Even when it all looks hopeless, He is able. He is able. You need healing in your body? He's able. You need deliverance in your soul? He's able. You need forgiveness from your sin? He's able. You need that sin washed away? He's able. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be made a new creature in Christ Jesus so that old things are passed away and all things become new? Can I tell you, He's able. Jesus said, it is lawful to do. I was reminded, as we were worshiping today, I was reminded of, I believe it was the words of Paul. When Paul started preaching about Jesus, Paul said, now unto Him that is able to do. Can I just preach that into somebody's spirit today? Amen. The devil said he can't, but God says, I'm able to do exceeding abundant above all that you ask or think. It is lawful to do well. Jesus says, I'm able. against every negative report and against every doubt that you hear. I am able. It is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Now, let me do this and I'll go on to my third point and we'll close. Amen. But sometimes it's easy for us to become convinced that God's able, He's willing, and it's lawful for Him to do well. But surely not today. Surely not in this service. I know God has the power, and I know He answers prayer, and I know He's a forgiver of sins to those that repent. I know He is a rewarder of faith, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks after Him. But not today. Maybe next Sunday. Maybe when the missionary is here next Sunday night. Maybe when Brother Burns is here in a couple Sundays. Maybe if I can just make it till youth camp, or maybe if I can get to the old campgrounds in July for camp meeting, then maybe at that moment God will be able. Can I preach to you? He is able today. Even on the Sabbath day, even on a Sunday morning when it's a little dreary outside, even when the rains are falling, even when the clouds hang low, even today He's able. Come on, He's Lord, and it's lawful to do well on the Sabbath day.
I heard about close with this. In verse number 11, Jesus says unto them, concerning this man that sits among you with a withered up hand, which one among you who would have a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, who among you would not reach down into that pit, exert a little energy? Which one among you would not risk breaking the law and sweating a little bit so that you could rescue that lamb from the bottom of that pit? Here's what Jesus said. He said, who would not lay hold on it and lift it out? Conviction started settling in. Those men started realizing, well, I've done that. Here I am pointing fingers at this man for doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath, but yet I too have broken the law, and I too have reached down into a pit, and I have lifted a hurting lamb up out of the pit. Now, I'm not going to preach it all. It's 11:29, but there's a very similar story that takes place in Luke chapter 13. Jesus is again in the synagogue teaching on the Sabbath. And there in that story, there is a woman who Luke says she has a spirit of infirmity, and she's been bound by the spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Jesus looks at her on the Sabbath day and says, woman. Now, if you're going to call a woman woman, you'd better be God. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And the Pharisees pull out their same accusation. You can't do that. There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and it is not lawful to heal on the Sabbath day. And Jesus looked at these same skeptical, cynical, self-righteous religious rulers. And Jesus said, there's not one of you who on the Sabbath day wouldn't go untie your donkey from the stall. Matthew chapter 12, it was a lamb in a pit. Now it's a donkey in a stall. He says, there's not one of you who would not untie your donkey from the stall. And even though it's the Sabbath day, lead him to the water trough to get a fresh drink of water. And Jesus says, as heads start bowing in conviction. Yep, I've done that too. Yep,
I untied him last Sunday morning to get him some water. Jesus said, and this woman, ought not this woman whom Satan hath bound, not just 7 days, not just for the last 24 hours, this woman whom Satan hath bound for 18 years, should not she be loosed from her bond on the Sabbath? Jesus, in both of these stories, was making a powerful point. I am Lord, and it is lawful to do well, and there is nothing that should hinder my power from lifting one out of a pit or loosing one from the chains of bondage. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the power of our God, and that is the gospel that we preach today. It is a lifting gospel. It is a loosing gospel. If you are in the pit of sin today, amen, if your soul is withered up like that man's hand, amen, I need to preach to you and tell you God's hand has reached down into this service today, and there is a lifting that awaits you. I know there's a battle, and I know there's a war, but even on the Sabbath, there is a lifting that can happen in your life today. Maybe there's someone, I'm closing quick, amen, but maybe there's someone in this house today that you've come in here weary and discouraged, and you feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel. I feel a lifting spirit in this room today. I feel a fresh baptism of joy, amen, falling in this room. It's not the will of God that you live at the bottom of the barrel. It's not the will of God that you live defeated. It's not the will of God that you live bound by weariness. I tell you, He is Lord. It is lawful to do well. And He can lift you up today to a new height, to a new level, to a new dimension. Sometimes we can get to a low place. If we're not careful, we'll get comfortable in a low place. We'll just lay down. We'll dig up a little dirt and make a little pillow. We'll just lay down and get comfortable and say, well, this is just a lot in life I've been dealt. I guess I'm just going to have to learn to live in a low place. I'm not here preaching today that life is always mountaintop experiences. There's going to be some days that we walk through the low place. We're going to go through the valley here and then. But there ought to be something in you that says, I'm not going to be contented living in a low place when He is the lifter of my head. I'm not going to be satisfied living in a low place at the bottom of a pit with no hope, no future, no promise, when there is a long arm of love that is reaching down into my low place, ready to lift me to a higher level. Come on, I feel it in the Holy Ghost today. There's a higher level for someone in here right now. Come on, there's a higher level. You've been at that low place for long enough. You need to let God lift you up a little bit higher. He is the lifter, and He'll lift you out today. And if you're bound, if you're restricted, maybe it's sin. I don't have time to preach every nook and cranny of it. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's doubt and fear and discouragement. I don't know what it is, but if there's something that is holding you back, He's not only the lifter, but He's the looser of your soul. So as you stand to your feet today, it's Sunday morning. We didn't come to just go through the motions. We didn't come to just sing a few songs, hear a cute little sermon, and go back home. We came because He is Lord. We came because we believe that it is lawful for Him to do well on the Sabbath day. And we We came here today because we believe in His power to lift you up. We believe in His power to loose you from every bond and every restraint. I wonder if there's someone right now that would throw your hand in the air and say, Lord, I'm not going to be satisfied with leaving this service different than I came. I want to be like that one man with the withered up hand, one moment in the presence of a God who is willing to lift. And He left different. I want to be like that woman who came in with an 18-year battle, but she left having victory taken place because a God loosed her from the bonds of sin. Come on, I'm opening this altar right now. I feel the pulling of the Holy Ghost in this room to some of you. There's a lifting. There's a lifting here that can happen. Come on, I wonder if there's someone on a Sunday morning that would come to this altar and say, you know what, God, as a statement of faith, I'm going to lift my head and I'm going to lift my hands, believing that You and You alone can lift my spirit.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.